This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for taking the time to come on the show today, Don. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Pat. Always great to see you and talk to you.
Why don't we start off, Don, introduce yourself and your company and a bit about your background, please.
Sure. I'm Don Masters. My company is Media Plus, Media Plus Advertising. We've been in business just over four decades, just celebrated our 40th anniversary in July of this year. We're a full-service advertising, content creation, web development company that that has always believed that you put clients first, then everything else will look after itself.
Well, first off, congratulations! 40 years is a long, long time. And so, you started the business when you were five, I take it. Is that how this works?
Seven, actually. I started the business like 3 years out of university. I studied journalism at Carleton, actually, and about third year, I decided I didn't want to be a journalist because I liked working in all media. And back then, you made your choice. Was it TV, print, or radio? And I liked all of them. I liked filmmaking. So I liked writing for all those media. So I decided in third year that advertising was the route I was going to take. I got a job out of university for 3 years at a small local agency. And then I met my first partner in the business, and he and a couple of his partners put $500 in the bank and said, start an ad agency, and if things don't go well, you can make your rent. So that's how it got started. And he and I we bought out the original investors after a couple of years, and then my current partner, longtime partner, Christine Kincaid, and I bought his shares in the company in 1990.
Wow. You've seen so many changes in our industry during that time. What were kind of one or two key ones that you've seen?
Well, I mean, digital is the big change, both, in terms of media that we use, but also in the tools that we use, right? So back in the day, to create a print ad was, it was a total process of craftspeople, typesetters and, layout artists and putting things on a Bainbridge board and taking a photo of them or doing color separations. I mean, just the time and cost alone of that process to do a full color magazine ad was ridiculous. And today we send a PDF, right? And
yeah,
same with video, we used to shoot in 35 millimeter film or 16 mil film and, commercials back in the day. And then, they would be actually edited as film. And then video came along and really, established itself. And the stuff that we can do, the content that we can create and the speed at which we can create it and turn it around is just, it's night and day compared to back in the day.
And that's when cut and paste really meant something. But I remember those days back in those days, you'd literally cut from the film or wherever you're cutting from and literally paste where the film came from. Yeah.
In journalism school, we would do radio reports and we were cutting and, taping literal audio tapes, which, the younger folks that work for us now, they have no idea and no concept of that, but, Yeah, that's the way it was.
Wow. And when you first started, Don, you mentioned you had a partner. How big was the team back then? Was it literally just the two or three of you, or did you already have staff right away?
You know what? It was really just me because he was a partner in another business. He was actually an engineering consultant. And these guys, they were all engineers, and they had this idea. It was back when laser video discs were introduced. And they had this idea, we should get into laser video disc production. And I met my first partner at a marketing association lunch, and then he called me up a couple of days later because, of course, there was no email back then. And he says, you know, he said, hey, we're thinking of doing this and we'd like to, you know, we'd like you to start this business for us. We think you're the right person. And so I said, well, listen, I can start an ad agency. And then if we have some video disc projects that come along, great. If not, we'll start an ad agency. So it was really just myself. He was sort of part-time, I guess I would say. There was, you know, some initial business development. We were fortunate in that the engineering guys that had invested the $500 in my future rent had a business associate who was starting an airline in Mirabel Airport in Montreal, a charter airline. And we ended up getting that account and actually having revenue starting the month after I started. So, yeah, and then we just took it from there. I mean, there was a lot of business development going on. I worked with a freelance art director. I'm a writer. So, you know, we had that kind of covered. And then we just started to build the team, and, you know, moved every year because we were growing and needed more space. And yeah, so it was a bit of a whirlwind for the first number of years. And I drive by different locations in town and think, oh, we used to have an office there. We used to have an office there. Now we're well settled on Catherine Street.
Nice. And in those early days, you would have been a pretty young guy back then. So were you intimidated by the business development side of things? And the reason why I ask this is that it's become a common theme now on the podcast, Don, when we're talking to veteran entrepreneurs and they're coaching and mentoring new entrepreneurs. And a lot of the new entrepreneurs don't want to do that part of it. They think it's just going to magically come to them. So I'm curious, you would have been pretty young then. How was that for you?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess I realized that the business of advertising is related, you know, it's about relationships and it's about working with client teams, right? So, and they want to, you know, I realized that they want to get a sense of who would they be working with and dealing with. So I was never, I mean, I had had some experience public speaking through my life in different situations and so on. So I was never really, you know, too concerned about that part of it and about making the case for why, you know, we were the agency to go with.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, to be honest, you know, that it's kind of an interesting part of the advertising business because, you know, you do a proposal, then you get shortlisted and you go in and you make a presentation, you know, it's kind of like the Super Bowl of the agency business, that pitch, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's exciting and a nervous time as well. But if you can channel the nerves the right way, then, you know, it didn't bother me at all. And I still love it.
What was the transition like, Don? So you're starting off by yourself and a partner and you land this big account, then you start bringing in some freelancers. I assume at some point early on, freelancers become full-time employees. And now your role, well, correct me if I'm wrong, was it your role to kind of oversee those people, at least in the initial days?
So the way that it worked is as my first partner got more involved in the company and then my current longtime partner, they were both, you know, marketing strategy people and business people and kind of knew how to run a business. So I was never so much involved in that side of things. So I, you know, manage the creative team and have always managed the creative team, whereas my partners have managed more the media strategy side of the business as well as running the business as well. So my partner, Chris, she's both VP and COO of the company. So
gotcha.
I don't get too deep into the weeds on the running of the business stuff, but certainly managing the creative team for sure.
Yeah. So it's nice to have that. If you're a creative type, anyone listening that's a creative type of person that may think they don't have the necessary skill set or don't want to learn the skill set to be more of an operator, that there's options out there, either a potential business partner or a strong employee.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Good for people to know that. And then, Don, over the years, you know, kind of your, was there a real tipping point for you when you grew to a significant size, where you, and what was that tipping point? Was it based on a certain type of account you had, or a large account, or just revenues overall?
Well, so, I mean, I think we've always liked to think of approach things through a smart kind of growth approach. So, you know, I've always wanted to be involved in the actual work, the crafting of the creative and messaging and content. And, you know, so we scaled up to, at one point, we probably had 26 people on staff. They were fewer than that. We're just under 20 people on staff, and we're kind of right-sized after the pandemic. And, you know, we had some people leave us during that time, and kind of found that we were okay with the team we still had in place. So right now, I mean, you know, the option is always there. If a big account walks through the door, or we win a big account that requires more human resources than we have, we're going to be hiring people. That's kind of the way we've always managed the team and the resources that we bring to the table for clients.
It's smart. It's a smart way to grow a business, because, you know, when something like the pandemic comes along, you don't have too much overhead that if you had to trim it back, or not at all, hopefully, that you're able to do that, versus, you know, being overstaffed. And I know in talking to other agency owners, sometimes, you know, if I'm working with them or coaching them, you know, look at the profit margins. They're so narrow, there's nothing there. Boy, lose one account and the whole thing is going to collapse. So it sounds like you did a bit of an opposite thing, that, hey, just grow smartly and slowly.
And you know, what else we did that is that, you know, we've never had dedicated business development people and stuff. You know, it's always the key team members are going to work on an account that will pitch the account. And honestly, we haven't been the kind of agency that's just constantly out there chasing new business. You know, we've always believed in developing long-term relationships with clients, delivering value for them, and, you know, reminding them that we do that, with real data. We've been fortunate that we've had some clients, honestly. You know, we've been an agency for Canada Post for almost four decades now. And they go through a regular five-year review and competition. And, you know, so great client, great brand. You know, so we would rather focus on delivering for them than chasing after the next big thing and, you know, just going on a growth strategy. That's never really been our thing.
Let's shift the focus, Don, now to some lessons learned along the way. And if you don't mind, not everyone listening is going to want to start an agency like you and I have. So maybe we can talk in more general terms. So what would be two or three key lessons that you'd like to pass along to someone listening? That, why don't we start off with someone that's already has a business and maybe struggling? Is there one or two lessons for that individual you'd like to pass along?
Well, I mean, you know, I guess I would still approach it from a marketing standpoint. You know, if you're really struggling as a business in terms of revenue, you know, you need to really stop and evaluate what it is that you're offering and who you're offering it to, and whether it's the right offering, and whether you're, you know, offering it to the right target audience. So that's where I would start. I mean, if a business is, you know, is not performing to the level that its owners want it to perform, then they have to, those are fundamental questions they have to ask, along with is our price, you know, are we pricing things properly? I mean, I suppose that's part of the offer, but, you know, I think those kind of fundamental things about marketing immediately enter consideration set for a business that isn't doing well. Maybe I'm biased toward marketing in that regard, but
well, you know, the advice that I like to give people is, you know, sales cures all. At least, you know, you got to start there, right? And sales can come either from direct selling or through marketing, or, you know, ideally it's a combination of both. But and again, we mentioned this earlier in our conversation, but I find a lot of the startup entrepreneurs, small startups, mind you, but you know, they resist that side of it. And I the way I approach it with them, if they come to us for advice, is, listen, you know, if you really believe in what it is that you do, then you are doing somebody a disservice, your ideal client or ideal prospect, a disservice by not making them aware of this product or service that you offer.
Totally.
Yeah. And when we put it like that, then the light bulb goes off a little bit and they understand that, because sales unfortunately has this negative connotation around it, and it really shouldn't, because if you're selling something you believe in and you truly believe the person you're talking to needs it, then that's that. It's not more complicated than that.
No, it isn't. It isn't at all. And, you know, yeah, sales, maybe that's not the right word for it. Maybe it should be, you know, it's that more global marketing, right?
As opposed to just
sales, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. And a lot of people, I remember one of my old bosses said to me one day, he goes, and yes, a very successful entrepreneur. He said, what is the difference between sales and marketing? And I really had to explain it to him. And but at the end of the day, you need both. There are two halves that have to fit together.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
What about on the finance side of things, Don? Any advice you'd give to someone that, again, that may be struggling?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, to be honest, we've never looked at financing, outside financing in the history of the business. It's always been self-financed by revenue. But, you know, I know that our business, I mean, you know, it's a professional services business. It's a little different if you're in a manufacturing business or something, obviously. You know, if you feel that you've got good potential going forward, then, you know, I wouldn't hesitate in reaching out to financial institutions and, you know, and getting their investment in your business, and that you can hopefully, you know, pay back quickly and start earning revenue.
Okay. What about someone that's listening that may be thinking of starting a business? What lessons would you like to pass on to them?
Well, you know, I wasn't thinking of starting a business when I actually started my business. It was a bit of a situation that just kind of came to me in that regard, you know. But I, you know, I think, you know, my advice would be to make sure that you're completely committed to whatever the business is, that you have a clear vision for the business. You're committed to it. You're willing to put in the hours to make it happen and make it successful, and not to be, you know, not to walk into it with your eyes open, walk into it with your eyes open, and to have, you know, I think a clear map of expectations, where you expect to be within 6 months or a year, 2 years, 3 years, and, you know, then use that as your, those are the benchmarks you're trying to reach. And if you're not there after the first year, ask yourself why. And maybe you need to reset for year number two. But yeah, I think, you know, just having a realistic view of what it takes to run a business and to have a, you know, a good plan to make it succeed. I'm sorry, my throat is a little less.
It's all good.
You can edit that.
Don, you know, last few guests I've had on the podcast, one of the topics that have come up kind of post-pandemic is that maybe not everyone's cut out to be an entrepreneur. And I'm repeating myself for our loyal listeners, but you're going to hear it again, that we're not trying to discourage anybody. It's not the point here. But I also think that not everyone is cut out for this. Would you agree with that?
You know, I would agree. I would totally agree with that, Pat. I mean, I think you have to, you know, people who want a really good work-life balance probably aren't cut out for entrepreneurship. You know, in all seriousness, it just takes more hours on the entrepreneur's part to create and maintain a successful business. You know, you might get to some point where, you know, you can gradually offload certain responsibilities to others. you know, and depending on, you know, if your ultimate goal is an IPO and walking away with untold wealth, well, that's a little different than, you know, running a professional services firm like ours. You know, I think that's the key is what kind of life do you want to have in terms of just the sheer number of hours you're going to spend working compared to when you'd be working for someone else. You know, you're working for yourself, and you know it takes some sacrifice on the life side of things, and that's just the way it is. And hopefully you can compensate for it through you know in other ways. But I'm still up at 5 a.m. and at my desk at 6 every day. So
wow. You know, Don, when I first started this 10 years ago, because it was a trend, as you know, I was a longtime employee for years and years and years. And I read this great article. I forget who wrote it, but they talked about when you own a business, you do not have work-life balance, but you have to figure out a way to have work-life integration, how to integrate the two. And it really was something that resonated with me when I read that. I said, okay, they're being honest. You're not going to have a work-life balance the traditional way. You're not necessarily, when you're home at 5, you're not shutting things off. You know, we're always, our brains are working on the business constantly. But how can you integrate that? And you know, and the way I interpreted that was, okay, how can I do this in such a way that doesn't impact my relationship with my family and my friends? And there's all kinds of workarounds around that. So if you have to go, if you have young children, for example, and you want to go see a play, well, now you have the freedom to go do that, knowing that you're not going to be able to just shut things off when you get back at 5. You may mean you work till 6 or 7, that whatever that looks like, but you went to that event with your child. So, you know, I think there's benefits that way that people don't talk enough about.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, when my kids were young, when our kids were young, you know, I would come home at 5 o'clock and, you know, spend 2.5, 3 hours with them before it was bedtime. And then I would, you know, go to the office and work, you know, not back to the office, but to the office here at the house and work for a couple more. So, you know, it was a little less sleep than I really should have been getting, but I've fixed that. So.
Hey, Don, before we went live, you were telling me about some of the great work that you do in our community, you and your business partner. Can you share that with our listeners, please?
Sure. So, I mean, we've been involved with a lot of charitable organizations. I was a member of the board of the Snowsuit Fund for well over 3 decades, and we continue to work for them. We have done work for the Christmas Cheer Breakfast for a number of years. We do all of the work for the Trees of Hope for CHEO, which is held at the Fairmont Chateau Laurier every year. So we do build the website, you know, handle all the branding and communications for it. My business partner, Christine Kincaid, she's involved with a group that goes out Thursday nights and literally feeds the homeless, hands out sandwiches to people living in the street. So, you know, it's important, and we've always felt that it's important to give back to the community. And, you know, we're big Ottawa fans and Ottawa boosters. We've been, you know, working with Ottawa tourism for, you know, a few decades. And, you know, we love the city and we want nothing but the best for the city.
Awesome. That's really good of both of you to put all that back into our community. And I agree with you. I'm born and raised here, and our team has a saying, you know, we like to serve the community that serves us, because without this great city and everyone in it, you know, I don't have a business, and maybe you don't either. So
that's right.
It's really important to get back. Don, where can our listeners find out more about your agency and yourself?
Well, they can find out about the agency at mediaplusadvertising.com. And there isn't a lot about me on there because I'm generally a modest guy and don't really put myself out there that much. But great. The website kind of got it all.
Awesome. Thanks so much for doing this, Don. Really appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Pat. Great to see you.
Good to see you.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.